I speak to you in the peace and forgiveness of Jesus. Amen. Monica came back on Good Friday. I was at home in the rectory in Connecticut where we lived at the time, resting after the new liturgy, working on my sermon for the evening liturgy, when the telephone rang and someone on the other end said, "There's a woman here at church who says she needs to speak to a priest. She seems to be in bad shape." "I'll be right there," I replied. We just lived a few houses down from the church. I gathered my coat and reluctantly headed out the door since I still had 3 days of services yet to do. But when I arrived at church, I knew Monica couldn't wait or be put off. So we sat there in my office while she cried and shuddered and spoke about killing herself and finding a place in hell. Just a month before that day, Monica first came by, suffering intensely and deeply troubled. That day, she just needed to talk, and talking seemed to bring some peace. Her story was jagged and destructive: electric shock treatment, doctors, daughter hates me, don't hear voices or see things, can't get my medicine. But talking eased her soul. That was then. But on the day of the cross, Monica came back. At this time, talking didn't work. She had just been released from the psychiatric hospital. She was both glad and frightened to be home. Her landlord was entering and bothering her, so she said. The Mental Health Association people were not bringing her medicine, so she said. The police refused to help her, so she said. This was a terrible dark day, so she said. And she came back to see me. And I saw her and the nail marks and the wounds in her heart. It was, after all, a day of suffering and death. According to John, faith is a matter of seeing. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, what did she say? "I have seen the Lord, risen from the dead." And throughout the rest of the resurrection story, faith comes from seeing, or it doesn't come at all. Jesus kept coming back. In the evening of the first day, he came back, unbounded by locked doors, to see his friends, to bring them peace, to breathe life over them, and to forgive them. But Thomas wasn't there. "We have seen the Lord," the rest of them said to Thomas. But he didn't see, and he didn't believe. So Jesus came back. A week later, he came back, again undeterred by locked doors, again bringing peace, inviting Thomas to see and believe. And he did, and he did. Although you can't tell from the English text, the Greek language has an elegant way of distinguishing sight from sight. There is one word for the physiology of eye and brain. I see the chair. There's another word for the messenger of faith. I see. And John uses both of them. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Their eyes were working. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Resurrection speaks. Unless I see, and Thomas tests his eyesight, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" And once again, resurrection speaks. I think we must have a hard time seeing. That is why Thomas is so appealing. That's why he's a twin, maybe our twin, a companion during this season of resurrection. Because our vision is so clouded so much of the time, Jesus keeps coming back. Not with annoyance, not when we expect, despite our locked doors, to let us see, because seeing is believing. But it sure is discomforting to see, because we will see what Thomas saw. What did Thomas ask for? A bright specter beyond all pain, an alluring presence released from his touch, a wonder worker vindicated forever? No. Thomas asked to see the mark of the nails and the mark of suffering in his side. A week after resurrection, surrounded by his friends who were filled with peace, glowing with filaments of spirit, resting in forgiveness, Thomas rested his sight and his faith on the wounds of the risen one. And there is nothing else to see. Not then, not now, not ever. In a world that seems to have blown up right at Easter, the shootings in high schools and terrible things happening, our sight is easily fixed on death and the marks of suffering. Jesus comes back and invites us to see and touch and to believe that he is risen with nail marks in his hands and wounds in his side. That same week that Monica came back on Good Friday, I took the day after Easter off. The bishop ordered us to do that, and I always obey the bishop. Early in the afternoon of Monday, however, I came to my office to pick up some things. "I'm not here," I announced to the office. "You don't see me." Just as I was leaving with books I came for, the intercom buzzed and a voice from the office said, "There's a man out here who seems to need help." So I went back out into the hall to encounter a frail man in his late 50s wearing a black trench coat, just taking a drink of water at the water fountain. He hadn't shaved in several days and seemed to walk gingerly. Whatever vigor had once propelled him through life was now just a whimper, and he said he was trying to get to the homeless shelter in the next city nearby. Could I give him a couple dollars? I didn't stop to ask his name. Maybe he wouldn't have given it to me anyway. I fumbled in my pocket and actually found exactly a couple of dollars. So I gave him the money and turned to go back into my office so I could go back home on my day off. He started out the back door, and then he came back and said, "Do you have any shoes here?" Reaching down, he pulled back the soft black cloth slippers he was wearing, hitchhiking on nearly bare feet. "No," I responded, "we don't have any shoes here, I'm sorry." And out the door he went, out of my life, leaving me feeling sorry for him and vaguely uncomfortable with myself. But then the stranger came back, not to the church, but he came back into my sight and made me see. At 5 o'clock that day, I drove down the highway like I did many days to pick up my wife at her commuter bus stop from Hartford. As I crossed over the highway and turned to get onto the road that headed toward the bus, the commuter bus stop, there was the man with no shoes, hobbling a little bit, having hitched a ride that far, but still far from the shelter. By the time I saw him, I was past him. I did not stop to pick him up, but I saw him, and I still see him, and I see his feet gingerly walking wherever he goes. And I believe Jesus came back to me that day, just as he had come back on Good Friday in Monica's visit, and I had seen, but not seen, until something, maybe that strange breath of his, maybe that forgiveness that unlocks the doors, maybe it just took me a little longer this time, cleared my sight and brought life to the dead. From another time, from the terrible slave quarters that remained a stain on our national life, I remembered a great song of hope. "I've got shoes, you've got shoes. All God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes. I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. If I could find that strange man, I'd give him shoes. Now I see." Monica's nail marks go right to the heart. She's more troubled than anybody should bear. But there may be only a thin line between madness and transcendence, and faith, sight, falls on both sides of that line. If I could replay all my conversations with the troubled and anxious and hurting people in my life, I would try. For now I see. You just watch. As you go through this week, and you get back to school, you go back to work, spring activities begin to speed up. Jesus will come back. He will come back again and again until we see. Until we see. Until we see the mark of the nails and the wounds in his side. Until we see life and resurrection, even in a world blown to bits by crazy people. When you leave church today, please go by the baptismal font. It is still full of water. At the great vigil of Easter last week, we poured that water and blessed it, and then poured that water upon the head of Liliana Marie Kelly and baptized her. And we did a most unnatural and unworldly thing. At night, in the dark, with candles, hearing the stories of creation and flood and the Exodus and the dry bones and resurrection. It is not an accident that the ancient church told the story of the healing of the blind man to those who are about to be baptized, because it is a baptismal story. It is the tale of the gift of sight. It is our great metaphor for faith. So dip your hand in the font and wet your fingers and touch your wet fingers to your forehead and remember your baptism. Remember when you were invited to see the Lord. Remember that Jesus has come back. And now we see. Amen.